We are the Sports Report. I am Ben Meredith, and that is my father. This podcast will be primarily giving our listeners a look into college basketball with some high school athletics mixed in there, mostly winter sports, so your basketball. We know next to nothing about wrestling, but we will try to give you our best.
We'll do our best.
We will do our absolute best for those who love wrestling. We will look into high school football as well as some college football because there's a lot of news coming out there, especially as the playoff races for college football continue to amp up. And the high school football officially coming to a close for all of the Lakeland's teams. But yeah, we'll go ahead and start. First off, we're going to go a little bit of a holiday theme, as Thanksgiving is, today is Saturday, so next Thursday will be Thanksgiving. You're looking at two people who absolutely love, or listening to, two people who absolutely love Thanksgiving. So Dad, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish? And no, you cannot say your grandpa's oyster dressing.
Well, if I can't say my grandpa's oyster dressing, which obviously was my choice, there's no second place, really. Gosh, my favorite Thanksgiving dish, I really, I kind of am a, I'll eat any of it, but I think a good casserole-style mac and cheese. Ooh. That's crispy on the top. If it's crispy on the top, you got me. A little bit of crunch on those noodles, that's going to be my favorite Thanksgiving dish. Haven't had it in a couple of years because I'm weird and don't eat carbs.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Anymore.
Yeah, he's weird.
I love some mac and cheese.
For me, this is a tough question. Obviously, your grandpa's, well, my great grandpa's oyster dressing is obviously up there, but there are some second and third place options or some 1B options up there. Sweet potatoes, like the yam style stuff like that. Love that. Could eat my body weight in that stuff. And then mac and cheese as well. And then dessert-wise, I feel like me and you can agree on this banana pudding. Mm-hmm. I feel like is a good one.
It's the goat.
Yeah, for sure. So now we'll jump into a little bit of high school football. Dad, you, me and you heard this news, and we were both pretty shocked by it. 96 head coach Matthew Bennett is no longer going to be with the team. He was let go. They announced it a week from yesterday that he was no longer going to be the head man of that program. So I'm shocked by it. They talked about it on the Prowler Hour podcast. Bobby Hamby and Jay Reynolds did. I really like what Jay Reynolds said. I was curious if they were going to have, like, if the board wasn't on the decision. But it sounded like it was mostly just the higher-ups. So, yeah, that kind of shocked me. Obviously, I played for Coach Bennett for 2 years. Loved my time with him. Hope nothing for the best for him and Miss Bennett. Moving on to the second part of high school football, Greenwood High School shockingly falls at home against Gaffney. That is Coach Bennett's alma mater. I heard they had two or three turnovers, not what you want if you are, or I think three or four, actually, turnovers, which proved to be the end-all be-all there. So Tristan Lewis ends his high school career with a loss at home. He will go on to do great things in the great city of Columbia, South Carolina with the Gamecocks. I'm certain as he will be playing defensive back there. Abbeville, another shocker, falls at home by one to Louisville. I don't have much on this one. Obviously, that senior class is really good. One guy that stands out to me, their quarterback when we played them, was phenomenal. And then Darius Riley, their running back, he had a game and a half when we played them in the return game. I think he probably had over 400 total yards. I think he only had 200 on the ground because they don't count kick return yards as... Well, I think they do, but it was different. So that kind of just shows you how good he is. I don't know what his plans are after high school, if he's planning on going to play college football, but he's also a pretty decent basketball player. So I'm curious to see how that goes. Where Shoals falls on the road to Hunter Kynard Tyler. Not much to say on this one. Not really a surprise either. And then Emerald, they fell again. They had an upset win in the first round, but they were able to pull it out. And then, or they were able to pull out in the first round and then got beat in the second round. It was a close game. I talked to a few Emerald guys, and they thought they had a decent fight. And then, this is not on the rundown, but Clinton, last night, at home, gets obliterated by a Fairfield Central. I believe the final score was like 42 to 14, 42 to 7, somewhere in that range. It was 28-0 at halftime. Absolute shocker there. But yeah, so do you have anything else to say on those? Or your...
No, the 96 news was shocking. We'll move on and figure out what comes next there, and I haven't followed any of the other high school football throughout the Lakelands and beyond, but excited to watch next year's season and any of these local schools. Of course, I'm going to pull for my local folks before I pull for any of the other ones. So sad to see nobody moving on to states or upper state or anything like that. But it was a good season in the Lakelands.
It was. So some other news. Strom Thurmond, who is in 96's region, they will play upper state at home against Fairfield Central. Nice. So if you want to make the trip up there, you can. I have no reason to because I don't know a single player on that team. But they also have BHP. They're kind of on the outskirts of the Lakelands area. They will be playing in the upper state. That'll be a 3A. I don't know if that's home or away, but that'll be a fun game to go watch if you're interested. And then let's get into some high school basketball. 96 scrimmaged Cambridge and came out on top. They played six quarters? Does that mean they played? I was not at this game. I was at
Crowler. I don't know if you can call them quarters. They're not quarters, sections, or when they play six of them. Yeah. But they had several different kind of scenarios that they ran. So one was running clock. You know, the first, I think, four or five of the sessions were just a running clock. No, even on foul shots, like if people were taking free throws, the clock was running. So, and that kind of gave you a mid-game feel. And then toward the end, they did a couple of, I think it was like a minute 30 or something like that left on the clock. And then they would give one team seven and the other team nothing. And kind of give you the scenario of what it would be like in that last minute down seven. Or last minute and a half down seven. And so it was a interesting way of doing it. To my knowledge, I think 96 won all of the segments.
Nice.
I don't think they ever came back from down seven in a minute 30.
Okay.
But they did win in terms of any of the ones where the score was even. But yeah, pretty entertaining to watch. Really love the energy that I'm seeing out of the both the JV squads and the varsity squads. And they had both were there, and they would put kind of, you could see the coaches talking to one another and saying, well, I'm putting in my starting five for JV, or I'm putting in my starting five for varsity. And
mixing it up a little bit.
They mixed it up a whole lot. A lot of guys saw playing time. Some great great improvement over last year. I only went to a handful of games last year. But, yeah, we're really excited to see the boys get out there and do it.
Absolutely. I went to most home games for the Wildcats, and it just, they did not seem to have the energy that they had during the Devachi era, which was a long time ago at this point. That was my freshman year, was his last year. But I really liked some of the stuff I saw. Obviously, the Wildcats have their main core from last year. Only had two guys graduate, Richie Pinckney and Carson Reynolds. So they're losing their starting big man, sixth man big man, and then a backup point guard. But they still had their main group of guys. They still have the Dunlap twins. They still have Kobe Quarles. They still have Carver Davis, Kamani Williams. So that key five is still there. And Devin Butler is still with the team too. So that's six guys who can give you quality minutes, can give you quality shots. And Devin Butler, from the highlights that I saw of him on Jeff Hewitt's Facebook page, I loved his aggressiveness. His layups were some of the coolest I've ever seen from a high school player in my life. He's really good. I really like how they shared the ball around, got out in transition, stuff like that. And even the younger guys getting involved. Theo Meredith, never heard of him, but he's pretty good. That's my brother, for those of y'all who don't know. He had, I think, 4 points or something like that.
I can't remember.
We don't remember exactly, but he had
four or six
points, blocked, or a couple blocks, a couple assists. So, love that. Was it assists away? Do you keep them, or assists, like actual assists? Do you remember at
so,
all?
So, what Benjamin there is referring to is the North Carolina way of keeping assists. I'm a big Tar Heel fan, and we keep an assist where if you throw the ball to somebody who should have scored, you get an assist. So, if, for example, you throw a ball down low to a guy on the block, the guy turns, shoots, gets fouled, of course, that doesn't count as an assist because the ball didn't go in the basket on the official assist record. But the North Carolina way has always been to count that as an assist. That's an assist the way we keep them. So, yeah, that's...
We don't have any information on the Greenwood schools, but we have to think that they are also excited to hear the ball bouncing. We've got some stars. I don't know if Greenwood had many graduates from the basketball team, but I know a lot of them played football, so I bet a lot of them are taking a little bit of a break from football. It's been a full week since they wrapped up football, so you're hoping that you have a group out there with basketball and wrestling, and that's it. But yeah, so hopefully we can have that. Now let's jump into some college hoops action. We will get to the AP poll, but first I want to talk about the Tar Heels. Tar Heels have had a start to the season. We are recording this, again, Saturday, November 22nd. So they just played Navy on Tuesday. They struggled at times against Navy, but I feel like at the end of the day, you got it out. And I feel like Navy's not as bad as an NC Central or a Radford. So you're not happy with it. Well, you're happy you got a win, but you're not happy with the result. You're happy with the way Caleb Wilson played, but as a team, you want a little bit better as you go into a stretch where you're playing St. Bonaventure. Is that how you pronounce it? We're playing them on the road and some classic thing. We should win that one, but they have some NCAA tournament experience, so you got to watch out for that. More experience than most of our guys, because we have Seth Trimble, who... Was he on the Final Four team, or was he... I don't think he was.
I don't think he was.
He's a younger guy, but he was not on that team, so he's the only real tournament experience we have with that 2024 team with Cormack and Ingram and Baycott. So not much experience. I think they have about as much experience as we do in the tournament, so hopefully we can pull that one out. But we are undefeated, so that's something good. Seth Trimble getting injured. He will be back by conference play. So that's good news. But do you have anything to say about the Tar Heels so far?
I have lots to say about the Tar Heels. I always have lots to say about the Tar Heels. No, it's really exciting to see the level of energy, with the exception of certain segments of that Navy game that I've seen out of the Tar Heels this year. That's by far my biggest takeaway, is that there's a ton of the plays that you don't see in the box score. The Zayden Highs jumping on the ground for a loose ball, Caleb Wilson jumping on the ground for the loose ball, pumping up the crowd, tell that it matters to these guys, which is something that the last couple of years, I don't know that you could tell that it mattered to the teams, to the individuals on the team. There was pockets of that, but man, I'm seeing it all over the thing. It's like they're taking it very personally. I heard reports of a player-led meeting after that Navy game where they all got together and said, this is not our standard. This is not where we want to be. And so that's really encouraging to see out of a team already in November that is taking ownership of where they go. So I am super excited about the Tar Heels this year. I know there's going to be games where we do what we did against Navy against a better opponent, and we're probably going to lose the game because that's how basketball works.
Yep.
But I'm extremely excited to see how the team comes together, how we play in conference play. Just really excited to watch. It's a great year to be a Tar Heel.
Absolutely. One major difference from this year to last year is we have big men. Last year, our starting big man was 6'9", and that was Van Allen Lubin, who is now a part of NC Stank.
The Wolf Pack.
They are ranked, so I won't insult them too much, but I don't think they'll be ranked for long. But we have Henry Vesar, who's a 7-footer, 6'11", somewhere in that.
7 feet.
7 feet. He's a good one. And then Caleb Wilson, who's 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", somewhere in that.
You should find out these numbers before you talk.
Yeah, I should.
But the podcast, he's about 6'10".
He's tall. Taller than our starting center last year, and he's way more athletic.
Yeah.
So you'll love to see that. This is probably the most depth we've had in the Hubert Davis era of big men.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about the most depth that we've had in big men, but I do know that across every position, we're bigger. Last year, our problem was our starting point guard was 5'11", our shooting guard, 6 feet. You know, like we at every position, we were out height, you know, outmanned in terms of height by 2 to 3 inches minimum. And this year, our point guards are 6'4". We've got tall guys, 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", even at the little man positions. And then, so we're just taller across the board. And it turns out that you cannot teach height. And it also turns out that being tall is an advantage in basketball.
Turns out, yeah. So, that's about all I have to say. Obviously, also you have, what's his face? James Brown, the Tar Heel big man. He's one of your not back of the bench, but middle of the bench guys who can come in foul trouble situations and get you some decent boards, play some okay defense.
Yep.
His offense isn't there yet, but he's also only a sophomore, so you've got plenty of time with him.
Yeah, he put on something like 30 pounds in the off season of muscle, and so he went from being visibly skinny on the field or on the court. He went from being visibly skinny on the court to now he's a big body down there. We really are looking for some secondary option big man. Vassar, I'll be honest with you. I'm not fully on Team Vassar yet because of the early season stuff that I saw where I'm like, he just isn't holding on to the ball. He's not battling for rebounds. But against Kansas, against some of these other teams since Kansas, he's really shown some signs of doing really well. And so I'm nudging toward Team Vassar. But that second spot, that who's your fallback when Vassar has to sit down because of foul trouble, when Vassar has to be out of the game, who is our next go-to guy? I don't know if it's Aiden High. I don't know if it's James Brown. I don't know yet. And that is a spot that is open on the team. And so whoever wants it and whoever can play to the standard is going to get it. And so I'm a huge James Brown fan off the court. He just seems like a great guy. I listened to his interview on the Carolina Insider podcast. Really cool guy. Excited to see him. But I got to see something on the court.
Absolutely.
From all of them.
And one thing I love about Vassar is his shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like we're running a stretch five out.
Yep. He can hit the three, and yeah. He's clearly been given the green light to not just try it, but try it anytime. He's got the green light to shoot.
So now, before we go on to our next subject, which I believe is college football, we will talk about... let's talk about the remaining schedule first. They have St. Bonaventure on Tuesday, Michigan State on Thanksgiving, then finishing out the non-conference with only one other ranked game against Kentucky, who is struggling. They have two losses to two very good teams. North Carolina will play both of those teams, Louisville and Michigan State. They got murdered by Michigan State. That shocked me.
Yeah, that was a blowout.
Yeah. And then they play only one other Power 5 team, I think, in OSU. I think they play like a Xavier. I don't know if Xavier's Power 5 or not. Xavier, Power 4 technically now. Xavier and then like a Georgetown or something like that, one of those two. So that'll be a good test for them. But let's get into the top 25, the AP poll. I'll go through kind of each team. If I have something to say about them, I'll spend a little bit of time on them. Purdue with 44 first place votes at number one. They are undefeated. Houston with 12 first place votes. So that shows you the difference in how the AP poll views Purdue versus Houston. It's a wide margin, undefeated as well. UConn at number three. They have two first place votes. They lost to Arizona. Arizona also with two first place votes. They are number four in the nation. They have a bunch of really good losses or wins, as we will see later. Louisville undefeated at five. Michigan at no, sorry.
You skipped Duke, I'm always for.
Duke at five. They are also undefeated. They have some decent wins on their record. Louisville undefeated. Michigan undefeated. Illinois lost to Bama. BYU lost to UConn at number, what is that, nine. Florida lost to Arizona. That's one of Arizona's good wins. Alabama undefeated. Kentucky murdered by MSU and lost to Louisville, as we previously mentioned. Gonzaga, obviously, I am not a huge Mark Few fan over these past few years. I think they were extremely overrated in that late 2010s, early 2020s time frame when they had... I can't remember all their names, but those big men who were just dominant, but they kept getting to the national championship game, folding in the Final Four, folding in the Elite Eight, folding in the championship game against North Carolina in 2017. Just, they're not the same. The media doesn't have the same kind of reputation of as that Gonzaga has had in the past, where it's like Jesus Christ himself, I don't know, could beat Gonzaga, is kind of the message that we're getting early in the 2019, 2022 seasons. And then St. John's lost to Bama. Texas Tech is undefeated. Iowa State is undefeated. Michigan State is also undefeated. North Carolina, undefeated. UCLA lost to Arizona. That's two Arizona top 25 wins. Tennessee is undefeated. Arkansas lost to MSU. That's two Michigan State loss wins that they have over top 25 teams. Auburn lost to Houston. Wisconsin is undefeated. And then Kansas lost to both Duke and UNC. I wrote down they were the only team to have two losses. That's not true because of Kentucky. I had forgotten about them when I wrote this. NC State, they are at 25, undefeated. They play in the Maui Invitational this week, or during Feast Week, and are my favorite to win it, which shows you how down Maui is this year. Obviously, a little bit of hate towards NC State, but they're not a bad team. I think they have the pieces to be decent during conference play and possibly get to, you know, the second weekend in March.
I tell you what they do have is Will Wade, who is an absolute genius when it comes to marketing. I don't know if he actually hates Hubert Davis, but he really needs his fan base to hear that he hates North Carolina. And so I absolutely no hate for Will Wade. Like, you got to do what you got to do. If you're going to get the NC State fan base excited, the way to do it is to dog on a decision made by Hubert Davis last year and to use Van Allen Lubin in any way you can to do that. And so it's funny to me. Will Wade seems to be a good basketball coach. I'm interested to see what he can do with NC State. I think NC State absolutely has the fan base to be good at basketball, and they just need a head coach that comes in there and does it. But yeah, as a Tar Heel, I definitely do just kind of look down on them and little brother them a little bit. But I always said, the order of fandom for me as one who grew up in Winston-Salem where Wake Forest is, I cheered for the Tar Heels. After that, I cheered for Wake Forest because they were the hometown team. And then I cheered for NC State. And all my NC State friends just didn't want me to say that I ever cheered for NC State.
Was that for football and basketball?
Anything. Yeah. I'll cheer for State, but I will never cheer for Duke in anything.
I lean at all. Much further away from that. I lean away from NC State, unless they're playing Duke. This is going to come across as possibly a hot take. Duke in football, during the Riley Leonard years. I'm not going to say I love Duke, but I strongly liked
good, this because Duke you team. Don't get to live here anymore. Okay. If you say you don't love, or if you say you love Duke.
Okay, that's good. Good to know.
That's a house rule.
But yeah, so then the other teams receiving votes, San Diego State, Indiana, Vanderbilt, Oregon, Ohio State, we play Ohio State, USC, Southern California, Georgetown, Creighton, Baylor, St. Mary's, Missouri, Mississippi, Iowa, Utah State, Georgia, Virginia Tech, Stanford, and Kansas State. That's three ACC teams towards the bottom of that. No ranked list, but close to it. They only had one vote. All those teams only had one vote. But yeah, and then who was it that I was going to say something about? South Carolina. They played against some nobody, but not really nobody, but Butler, and they lost. They had a early start, 2 p.m. on a Friday, which I don't know who is the marketing man behind that one, but they decided to start that one at 2 p.m. local, or 2 p.m. Eastern time, probably more like it was in the Bahamas. I don't know where it was. But it was a weird decision, to say the least, and South Carolina with Eli Ellis took the L there, and so now we're looking at that team is kind of iffy. But now we're going to look at the freshman from this season. Obviously, Caleb Wilson, the Tar Heels superstar, he had himself a game against Navy and against NC Central and Kansas. And then you have Darren Peterson. He's the Kansas cat who he played pretty solid. I did not see this game. I listened to it. I was at the 96 playoff game. But they did. He's pretty solid. AJ DeBansta, something like that. I spelled his name wrong on this sheet. I'm willing to admit my flaws.
Nobody can read your sheet. So
that's fine. That's fair. But yeah, I like AJ. I wish he'd come to North Carolina. He did not. We were in his final three or final two, something like that. But he decided to go to BYU. And then Koa Pete, the Arizona freshman, he is phenomenal. He might be the number one pick in this year's draft. And then obviously the Boozer twins. I can't think of, is it, I know one of them's Caden and something.
I'm not sure.
I know the other ones.
They're at Duke and one of them's the good one.
One of them's the good one. Caden's not the good one. I can't think of the good one's name. Cameron, maybe?
Maybe. We should look things up.
Yeah, we should.
Before we talk about them on the internet.
Yeah. Boozer twins, they'll be pretty solid. Eli Ellis, he's not like your, he's probably like 3.5 star, but I had to put him in there because he's in South Carolina, which is only a hop, skip, and a jump and a 2-hour drive down the road from where we are here in Greenwood. But he's a solid player. Eli Ellis, obviously, with the YNG Dreamers, Young Dreamers, I think you can say that, with OTE Elite program. He will have probably a solid 2-3-year career in college, whether that's at South Carolina or if he transfers to a different school, who knows. And there are others. I just couldn't think of them when writing this.
I think obviously there's a lot of homer bias for me when I look at Caleb Wilson, but he did go head to head against both AJ DeBansta and Darren Peterson, and no one can come away from either one of those games saying that he didn't hold his own. It was a dominant performance, and Caleb Wilson literally has the best record of any player who's ever played at North Carolina in his first five games.
Yep.
And that is a fairly storied list of players.
I don't know if it was... I think points-wise, he was second behind Cole Anthony. He might have been first ahead of Cole Anthony.
He's the only player to ever average 20...
Yes, that is true.
20 points, 10 rebounds, and something like 4 or 5 blocks. Like, I read a graphic. Like, he's it.
Yes.
Including Michael Jordan, including James Worthy, including...
Tyler Hansbrough.
You know, like, these players that were just... Now, a lot of that, North Carolina didn't... When Michael Jordan was there, he didn't see the floor his freshman year until the end of the season because he played for Dean Smith, and Dean Smith didn't play freshman.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of that going on here. It's a different era of college basketball, but it is startling to hear the numbers coming out of Caleb Wilson. So until proven otherwise, this diehard North Carolina fan is going to call Caleb Wilson the best freshman in the country. And, man, watching his motor, I think it's going to be tough to say otherwise.
Absolutely agree with that. One other thing before we jump to college football. No ranked college basketball team has lost to an unranked opponent yet. Duke, please. I'm willing to beg.
You can be the one.
I'm willing to beg.
You're still the one.
Yes, always. But yeah, so then we'll jump into college football. CFP college football rankings. We'll talk about the top 12 as follows. OSU is number 1. Indiana is number 2. Texas A&M number 3. They had a heck of a game last week against South Carolina. That one, as someone who has family who are diehard Gamecock fans, that one ate them alive. Alabama, Georgia at 4 and 5 respectively. Texas Tech at 6. Ole Miss at 7. Oregon at 8. Notre Dame at 9. Texas at 10. And BYU at 11. I don't know why I don't have 12. That's funny. But yeah, obviously that is a lot of SEC teams. But let's go ahead and jump into ACC is absolute chaos. Georgia Tech and UVA tied at 6-1. SMU and Pitt at 5-1. Duke and Miami at 4-2. There are 4 teams, ACC teams ranked, but most likely only 3 of them have a chance to get in the playoffs. Georgia Tech at 16, UVA at 19, Miami at 15. Those are the ones who I think get in, who have a shot at getting in. Obviously, I think they have to win the ACC. And if Louisville wins out, they have a shot. I think Louisville is at 20. But yeah, that was a very good team. So that's a very solid team. Obviously, there are 6 SEC teams in the college football playoff, as expected, because it's the SEC. The Big 12 championship game would be a rematch against BYU and Texas Tech. A Big 10 would be OSU and Indiana if the season ended today. I don't know if OSU is going to be able to finally get over the hump and beat Michigan. I don't know how that changes things. If it doesn't, not sure. The all-glorious SEC has the one spot locked up, and that is Georgia. They are in the championship. If Texas A&M, I believe Texas A&M's in as well. I think if they lose to Texas and some other teams win, they could get in. But I think Texas A&M will be playing Georgia. And then, yeah, I was talking about this. If A&M loses to Texas on rivalry week, they will play, it'll be Georgia, Bama, and Ole Miss are the only other teams who are in the running. Obviously, we already mentioned Georgia is already in. That's all I have for college football. Do you have anything to add?
No. The Tar Heels hired Bill Belichick. Still excited about seeing what he can do with a college football team.
Yeah.
Give him some time, man.
Come absolutely.
I
did have one thing. Duke is somehow still in the ACC championship odds. I don't think they can make the playoffs even if they do win it. But the Tar Heels, with bowl eligibility on the line, could end Duke's ACC championship hopes and keep that victory bell for the 20th. I don't know how long we've had that thing. We've had it for a long time.
We don't have it right now.
We lost last year?
We lost last year. I know. You should watch our games.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. We want that bell back.
That sucks. We want that bell back. I was unaware we lost that
game. We're still pretty dominant in the overall series because they had the 90s. And I was there, and it was bad. it was not pretty. We were not a great football team. They were a terrible football team. But, man, they've had a run here. I think it's like 6-7 or something right now. And, yes, I did say 6-7. And all the 8-year-olds in the room are now doing their hands in a weird way.
And your 15-year-old son, your 17-year-old son.
But, so it's a fairly tight race over the last decade and a half, and we obviously never want Duke to win in anything. And so, the Tar Heels do care about the victory bell, and I'm excited to see how that turns out, but it's basketball season.
Yep, absolutely agree with you there. Yeah, I'm also excited for that one. We'll quickly go ahead and talk about the NBA. There's one major NBA news line that I saw. Obviously, the NBA Cup's going on. I could care less about the NBA Cup, personally.
I'm not even sure what the NBA Cup is.
Great point. All I know is LeBron has one and Jordan has zero, so people are going to use that against him.
Sure.
Absolutely. Morons. But the NBA, on a podcast hosted by Steve Nash, LeBron and Steph Curry were on a couple weeks ago, and Steve Nash asked about the Olympics. LeBron said, "I'll be watching from Cabo, as expected."
Are the Olympics in Cabo?
No, the Olympics are in...
So what he meant was...
Los Angeles.
He's not going to be there.
Yes, that is correct. And then Steph Curry said, "Never say never," but he doubts it. Man, I would love to see Steph Curry.
He doubts it for LeBron, or he doubts it for himself?
Himself.
Ah. I really also hope, Cabo. Got it.
I really hope we get Curry, but I doubt it. And then we'll jump into some NFL to kind of wrap it up before we have a little bit of a Tar Heel in the pro segment. Man, first off, Thursday Night Football, Bills fall to the Texans. Josh Allen throwing two interceptions, including the game-losing interception. Cook had over 100 yards on the ground. Shakir, I don't know his first, I can't think of his first name off the top of my head. He had over 100 through the air. Texans did not really wow anyone offensively, but they did have two touchdowns through the air. Mills did not get over 200 yards, which is expected because he is the backup quarterback of that franchise, but the turnovers being the difference in that one. And then MVP favorite and Tar Heel superstar quarterback Drake May is tied with the best record
of him
in the league and in the NFL. Obviously the younger brother of Luke May, who I think has a better Tar Heel resume but not a professional resume. Luke May kind of has an important shot there. And then the Kansas City Chiefs, the team that I favor, worst season since Mahomes and Andy Reid. Definitely since Mahomes. I don't know about Andy Reid. We've had some pretty crappy years during the Andy Reid era, and some pretty great ones. We have 3 Super Bowls. But 5-5, third in the division, with 2 of those losses coming to division opponents. So has the magic ran out? Possibly. Playoff picture for the AFC goes as follows. That is not correct. I put Bills at number 1. That is completely false. Patriots at number 1, Broncos at number 2, Colts at 3, Steelers at 4, Bills at 5, Jaguars at 6. No, sorry. Chargers at 6, Jaguars at 7. Chiefs tied for 8 with the Ravens. Obviously, it's about a month or two left in the regular season. Need the Jags to lose a couple. Need the Bills to lose a couple. Obviously, the Chargers and Broncos are in the division. So if they can split the series with them, obviously they're going to kill the Raiders when they play again. The division is not totally out of the picture. You don't want to, I think we have 8 consecutive. We want to make that 9 or 10 in the future. So hopefully we can get that one going. But the division and the playoffs is definitely not out of the question for the Kansas City Chiefs just yet. NFC playoff picture. Eagles at 1, Rams at 2, and the Chicago Bears at number 3, the former home of Tar Heel great Mitch Trubisky. He's no longer there. I believe he's on the Bills. Buccaneers at 4.
He's doing great commercials these days.
He's doing great
about being the backup.
Great commercials. I believe Progressive.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Not a sponsor.
That's right.
But
we're fine if you want a sponsor.
Flo, if you want to reach out, please feel free. My email is open. Buccaneers at 4, Seahawks at 5, Niners at 6, Packers, that tie being the saving grace right now. They tied the Cowboys, and I believe they're 6-3-1. That tie is being a huge thing. They're playing great. But yeah, just being able to have a tie there instead of a loss helps them out tremendously. Now we will get into, and obviously also NFC West has the division winner, which is the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners. That's 3 of the 4 teams in the NFC West in the NFL playoffs. Do you have anything else to add before we move on?
What is the NFL?
National Football League.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm such a I watch the Tar Heels sports fan, and so I've been watching with passive interest in the Drake May story and watching a couple of the other Tar Heels in the pros. And those of us who watched Drake May play in college are not surprised. North Carolina did not get the team-level attention that would have warranted everybody else paying as much attention to them, that if they had, they would have seen that Drake May was this guy in college as well. Like, he is a magician.
Absolutely.
And beyond being really good at football, which is obviously a perk for being a front runner for MVP awards, he's just a great guy. He's a great kid. When he was in college, he was just his teammates loved him. He's what you see is what you get. If you hear him on an interview and you're like, wow, that guy is just genuinely a good dude.
Yeah.
And that, so it's really fun for me to watch Drake May. He comes from good stock. All those May boys, there was 17 of them that all had really good Tar Heel careers, either from being the hype man coming off the bench, the walk-on turned into absolute legend that is Luke May for hitting. It's arguably the best shot in North Carolina basketball history, but the only reason there's an argument to be made is that Michael Jordan also made a pretty consequential shot in the last seconds of a championship game.
And the Caleb Love shot, the Marcus Page shot.
Yeah, but the Caleb Love shot was great
because
it knocked down Duke. Yeah, I got it framed, a picture of it in my office here. But Luke May, to get past Kentucky in the Elite Eight, just absolutely artwork in terms of the Tar Heel history. So Drake May in the NFL is really exciting for those of us that are Tar Heel fans first and sports fans second. But yeah, excited to watch him because I really, again, not surprised at all. If you put good receivers or even average receivers near him, he finds ways to get them the ball that would not have believed were possible.
He has a pretty solid one in Stephon Diggs.
Again, all they've got to be is average, and Drake May can get them the ball. It's silly how he passes the ball. In fact, if it didn't work, I would say he makes poor decisions. Like, they're that miraculous of a shot. I'm like, that you should not have thrown that.
Yeah.
Except that it worked.
Like his left-handed passes that he's done in college and the pros. I mean,
it reminds me a little bit of some of the Mahomes passes where he's jumping and throwing, and you're like, why would you ever throw that in the double coverage? You know, and
then he hits his receiver in the helmet.
Yeah, yeah, but the Drake May effect is real for sure, and I will never, ever, ever, as a proud Southern boy, be a New England Patriots fan. But
oh, I am.
But I will be a Drake May fan.
Absolutely. The May boys obviously having a pretty solid stamp on Tar Heel athletics.
Yeah, they don't buy drinks in Chapel Hill. The May boys. Dad. Nobody.
Nobody in the May family.
Nobody in the May family has to pick up the drink.
He was a Tar Heel quarterback too, wasn't he? Way back in the day.
Yes. In the
Mark
80s.
May. In the 80s, back in the dark ages.
That's right.
Yeah, so Luke May, I believe he's the oldest, hitting the great one of the top five shots in North Carolina basketball history against Kentucky with 0.3 seconds to go in that one. Obviously, I don't know who's... Is Bo May older or is Luke Drake May?
I think Drake's younger. Pretty sure Bo is older than Drake, but younger than Luke.
So yeah, Bo May was a 2 or 3 year backup for the Tar Heels. He was like a walk-on guy with the heels. Back to the bench, like you said, bench hype man. So this last segment is Tar Heels in the pros. Professional sports, basketball, and football primarily. Obviously, baseball season being over, there's not much to talk about. But yeah, Drake May, leading MVP candidate, as previously mentioned. RJ Davis having a nice start to the G League. I don't have his exact stats. Last time I checked, it was like 27.5 points per game. Ridiculous. And I don't expect to see him in the G League much longer. Armando Bacot also in the G League. Harrison Ingram on the San Antonio Spurs, a back-of-the-bench guy averaging 1.7 points per game. Harrison Barnes he's a throwback. He was what year was he?
Gosh, it's been 12? At least a decade.
Yeah, it's been just before my memory. He had 16 points last night, or this would have been 2 nights ago. 16 points in his last outing and then averaging 13 points. Cormac Ryan in the G League for Milwaukee, he's having an okay season there. And then Coby White, my personal favorite Tar Heel. I know that's going to kind of shock people as I was alive during the Caleb Love and RJ Davis era. Still my favorite, mostly because of the arguments that I got in over him or Zion in fifth grade. Still Coby White, by the way, as you can see in the pros. Coby White had 25 Wednesday night in a one-point win. White is averaging, how much is it, 26 points per game. According to ESPN, he is the second guard coming off of the second two guard coming off of the bench. So somewhere in that sixth man realm. Caleb Love, former Tar Heel, again, I'll go ahead and say it, the best shot in North Carolina basketball history. Hot take.
I'm aware. So you can make that argument.
I'm willing to. He had 18 minutes and 5 points in Wednesday's loss to the Bulls, but he did have 17 off the bench against the Suns. This was Thursday evening night. So no shock there. Caleb Love has always been. I'm shocked he did not go into the pros after that Coach K L, but we wanted to run it back and we crashed and burned. Javonte Williams having himself somewhere near a career year since his injury on the Broncos.
Switching to football.
Switching back to the NFL. Javonte Williams having a pretty solid career year with the Dallas Cowboys. He has 809 yards and starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys. So yeah, and I completely forgot to mention Josh Downs. He is on the Indianapolis Colts football team. He has 36 receptions for 316 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he's doing pretty solid for himself. He had a touchdown against the Steelers on November 2nd. So that's a pretty... Obviously, Josh Downs, probably my second favorite receiver in North Carolina history behind Ryan Switzer. Absolutely love him. And I believe Switzer is a head coach at Tulsa, maybe? Or one of those?
I have lost track. At one point, I know he was coaching high school or college or something.
Yeah, I think it was a low college squad. But he's having himself a nice life over there coaching. I think he's a great coach and a great return. Him and Giovanni Bernard are 1A and 1B when it comes to return men in North Carolina, I think. Yep. Unless you can think of anybody else. I can't.
I mean, there were some great ones, but the Gio punt return against State is up there in best North Carolina football history moments. And Switzer, he doesn't have... It's not that one that you think of. He did this against this team. It's the fact that at any given moment, he was likely to take it to the house on a return. And so the volume of returns that he had were amazing. But Gio's, that one play, they did a whole podcast episode on it on the Carolina Insider, and it was absolutely electric. That play, I can still remember exactly where I was when it happened because I was actually working in retail sales for a large telephone company, and I had the game playing in my earbud as I helped customers check out.
Listening to
Jones. I was listening to, I think it was just the live broadcast. I had my phone there. And I was demoing to the customer what it looked like to watch live sports on your phone. And then Gio ran back this touchdown and I lost the ability to use words for a few moments. So, yeah, Gio. But Switzer was great because you just never knew. He's about to return everything.
He was phenomenal.
And when you physically looked at him, you thought, there's no way this kid can do that. And he would just do it.
That's about all I have for that. Obviously, Switzer was my earliest memory of North Carolina athletics, to be honest. Him and Marcus Page kind of coming around that same time back in 2015, 2016. I loved Switzer. I loved Marcus Page. But yeah, that pretty much wraps it up, unless you have something else to say.
I do not.
Tar Heels back in action on the football field today. You probably will have seen this after that. 3:30 kickoff there. Hopefully the Tar Heels pull away with that one to get that victory bell back. And then on the basketball floor, they play twice this week. They will play St. Bonaventure in somewhere, I think Florida. And then they will be playing Michigan State in that same arena on Turkey Day.
That's right.
So go Tar Heels. We hope that you all enjoyed. If you have any comments, questions, snide remarks, whatever you wish to think, please let them down below. Again, that is all we have here today. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Go Tar Heels.
Go Tar Heels.